You know, it's interesting to think about how change really does happen, and God's word has a ton to say about how change really happens, meaningful change, and it really does start with our beliefs, our belief system. So we're going to talk about that today. I had a funny story that I found regarding, you know, just the difference between hearing and truly believing something. You know, it's kind of funny. This mother had taken her little boy to church with her one Sunday. And so while the little one was in church, he said to his mommy, "Mommy, I have to pee." And so the mother said to the little boy, "Don't say pee in church. Whenever you have to pee from now on, just tell me that you have to whisper." Little boy said, "Oh, okay, mommy." Well, the next Sunday, the mom was sick, and the dad took the little boy to church. So the little boy is sitting in church, and you can hear it coming, right? The little boy leans over to his dad and said, "Daddy, I have to whisper." And he said, "Okay, just whisper in my ear." Ah. Kim loves my groaners, you know. I thought that one was pretty cute. What you hear versus what you believe. We're going to be talking about that today. All behavior is based in a belief. You know, the fact is that our belief system deep within is what really generates our values, and it generates our actions or our behaviors. So it is true to say that all behavior is based upon our belief system, on what we have inside. You know, everybody has a belief system. And when you come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and He wants to turn the light on. You know, He wants to illuminate. He wants to reveal things to us that we've been holding as true but aren't true. He wants to be able to enable us to see more clearly the things that have been hidden from us. This morning, I want to talk about the truths of God that can truly transform you. The truths of God that can truly transform you. These are the big foundational principles, the foundational truths that will have the biggest positive effects in your life if and when you truly believe them, when you bring them into your belief system and begin to live by them. You know, Christians are notorious for saying they believe certain things, but sometimes really all that means is that we have heard certain things, like from the Bible. We have heard certain things, and we're taught that they're true, but that truth really hasn't penetrated into our hearts yet. It hasn't come into our minds enough for it to be truly a part of our beliefs, our belief systems by which we make our daily decisions. A belief or something that you hear as true isn't yet inside a true part of your belief system until it starts actually affecting the way you live. When a truth from God starts actually changing you, you know you're starting to get it inside. You're starting to believe it to the point where you're walking it out, right? Truth has to penetrate our hearts and our minds. And this happens when we make a conscious decision to believe it. That's where it starts. You've heard this saying. I think I heard some of you say it before. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You've heard that, right? Well, in truth, that's where it starts, but that yet doesn't internalize it. It's a good place to start. God said it, I believe it, you know, I'm going to trust in it, but you have to walk it out. As Pastor Dee was sharing the word that she had from the Lord today, that's what I got from her word, that there's something about walking it out. You know, it's not just hearing it, it's not just saying you believe it, but actually walking it out. That's what God wants for us. That's what He wants us to have happen when He comes into our life. Here's the scripture that really was that which I felt would illustrate this message the best. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I have some verses here that I'd just like to share with you. And then we're going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about how We can apply this truth from God's word to our daily lives and be transformed. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this was Paul as he was talking about how he came to the Corinthians. And you know, the Corinthians were, well, they were people just like us. They were living in an area that was full of a bunch of different kinds of beliefs. And Corinth was not a godly place. As a matter of fact, there was a slang that was used. If you were called a Corinthian, you know, it would not be a positive thing. It would be a negative thing if you were called a Corinthian, just as a slang word, because of all the immorality and things that were going on there. So when Paul started the church in Corinth, he had to deal with all this stuff. And he needed them to start thinking and seeing clearly, to seeing the difference between what they were told and taught and raised before, how they were raised before, as opposed to now what God wants to do in their lives. So he says, when I came to you, it wasn't that my preaching and my message was with these giant, wise, and persuasive words. But when I came, God's Spirit came with me. And God's power was present because God's Spirit was there. That's what he's saying in these in this first part of the scripture. He says, this happens so that your faith would not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. And you know the difference. You know, in our lives, we can't put our faith in the things the world tells us to put faith in, because we know everything is going to be tested and shown that it's not something that God says you can count on. But God is the one that we can count on. And it's Him and His power that we have to rely upon. So that's what Paul is saying as he sets up this message. And he says in verse 6, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, you know, among those that are willing to grow, that are willing to hear and really want to become a Christian, not just by word, but by thought and action as well. He said, you know, the rulers of this age, they didn't understand God's wisdom. This is a secret wisdom that God had hidden, like through the whole Old Testament, that when Jesus came, it was revealed. But he said the rulers of this age, in verse 8, they didn't understand it. If they would have, they would have never crucified Jesus, the Lord of glory. And then in verse 9, it says, it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. How many have read that verse before? A lot of times you read that verse and you think about heaven, right? And rightly so. I mean, we understand the things in heaven that God has prepared for us. But that's not really the context of this verse. If you read the very next verse, it says, you know, sure, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. So what Paul is saying is, when you become a Christian and the Holy Spirit comes into your life, that light goes on and he wants to reveal to you all the good things he has for you. He really wants to reveal to you the precious truths that you can live by, that you'll find your life having meaning and purpose and peace and power. These are the things that Paul is talking about that can be revealed to us now that we have the Holy Spirit within us. And he goes on to illustrate that, you know, who knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit? In the same way, who knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God? But verse 12 says, we've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us, that we may understand these things. This is what we speak, not, he says, in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words inspired, directed by the Holy Spirit, expressing these truths. He said in verse 14, the man without the Spirit, which would be a person that hasn't yet come to Christ, that hasn't had that light bulb come on, you know, that man doesn't accept the things from the Spirit of God. They seem even foolish. You know, before you came to Christ, there were things about God, about Christ, about his plan and his purposes that were confusing to you, even that seemed foolish. The whole idea of the cross, you know, seemed foolish. Why would God, you know, cause Jesus to die in order to bring about his perfect will? If you don't understand that through the cross, the power of God was revealed and demonstrated, then you're not seeing the truth behind the message of salvation, the message behind that which God did for us because he loved us that much. Now in verse 15, he says, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things. You and I know that we make judgments, decisions, calls every day of our lives, right? Every moment, really, of our lives, we're making judgment calls. Right now, you're judging on what you're going to think about, right? You make these judgments based upon what you feel is in your best interest, what you think is true, what you think you should be focused on. But it says that we have the mind of Christ. Now, the cool thing about Christ, when he walked upon the earth, he had such an awareness of who he was, what his purpose was. He had such an understanding of God's love for him that he was able to do God's will perfectly, because he wasn't worried about having to take care of himself. He could rely fully on God. Frog, right? Fully rely on God. He could do that. Christ was probably the only one that could do that perfectly. But he's our model. Christ walked on this earth in confidence, in peace, in love. But you know, he did that because he knew the things that now he wants to reveal to us so that we can do the same, that we can walk this earth, we can live this life the same way Christ did, with confidence, not worry, with peace, not fret, with power. That's what he wants for us, and that's what he came to reveal. That's what this scripture is really speaking of. But in order for you to walk it out, you have to internalize these foundational truths. And today, just briefly, we're going to talk about two of them. Just two foundational truths that can transform your life if you really internalize them. That is, you hear them, you choose to believe them, and then you start walking out that belief. You start acting as if it were true because it is. And then all of a sudden, your beliefs start to change. You're internalizing these truths, and your life is showing it. You following me? Number one, this life is not all there is. But how you live this life is critically important. Let's stay there for a second, Doug. In that one before. This life is not all there is. I guarantee you that if you don't believe in eternity, if you don't believe in life after death, then how you live this life will be different. You know, we're talking about heaven's gates, hell's flames. And the reason that production is so powerful is it gets people thinking that there is truly something beyond this life. That's what does it, Rick. You see, as Gail and I were talking, it's so good to have Gail with us today. You know, she traveled the whole way from China to spend a couple of months here and learning some of the things that Kim does so that we can take these things and have people in China helped because of the truths that she'll learn. And we can use, she and others like her can use the the training and the teaching for children as a way to also show people the love of God and come to Christ. Amen? But Gail was saying that people in China, especially young people, the message of heaven is too far away for them to grab, to really affect their lives, especially when they're young, you know? And that's true, isn't it? When you're really young, heaven seems like a concept that is so far away that it's not a real big motivator. Now, it's different. Where's Sarah at? Yeah, it's different, you know, when we have a mom that is about ready to go to be with the Lord, you know, then all of a sudden heaven becomes a whole lot more relevant, you know, and a whole lot more meaningful. But the truth is, when you get to that point, what you do is you look back on your life and you're trying to figure out, what did I do? You know, did I live my life with this truth that now I'm gonna face an eternity or not? You know, it then all of a sudden it becomes really important to us. Well, no matter what age you are, we have to understand the truth that this life, while it's critically important, is not the only life there is. But how we live this life, you know, it's absolutely critical. If it weren't, as we have talked about before, when you were saved, God would translate you, you know, like Elijah or Enoch, up to heaven immediately. But that's not it. This life, how you live it, is absolutely critical. And so the second thing I want to talk about now is how to live this life with this truth in the faith and in the belief that God is your ultimate protector and provider. Now, I want to tell you, if you can grasp this and the power of it, that God wants to have you believe and walk in the way knowing He is your protector and your provider, it will change you. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you act. Because in this world, you see, the competing principle is that you have to take care of yourself. That's what message is out there. Everything is focused on me, 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 self, self, self. You know, everything that we hear in the world today is that you better take care of yourself because nobody else is going to. Look out for number one. That is a competing or contrasting message with the Word of God. When God says, live knowing I'll take care of you. Live knowing that I can and will. And here it is, that He, as you see, that He wants, that He knows, and that He can bring about your highest good. Let me say that again. Do you believe that God knows, wants, and can bring about your highest good? Do you believe that? The highest good that God knows that's available for you and wants for you, the highest good is for you to become like Christ. Healthy in mind and spirit, strong in the faith, righteous, loving, full of truth and light, so that you, God's son or daughter, can reflect Him and be with Him forever. God knows your highest good. He wants to bring it about. You know something else, this next truth. But God has allowed, somebody say the word allowed. That's a key word in this slide. God has allowed an enemy to exist upon this world to provide a choice and a challenge for us to overcome. You and I know, because we've all lived long enough to understand the power of tension, resistance, you know. We've talked about that, you know, many times about, You know, we use the example of weightlifting, and you know, we understand that resistance is what causes us to grow stronger, right? That's what causes us to grow stronger. So we have to step back and see that God's allowed the enemy to exist in this world for that reason. We all know that God is so much bigger than the devil, and that God could take him out at any moment. You see, knowing that should help us to not fear, but have faith in the one that knows that even though the devil exists for this time, that God is with us. And even the tension that the devil creates in this world, the troubles, God can help us overcome. That's what he made us for. He made us for the battle. We don't have to be afraid of it. It's how we get strong. This is God's plan. But the enemy's plan, as it says in this slide, is to get us to act out of selfishness, because selfishness is the opposite of believing that God can take care of you. You see that. You see, the enemy doesn't want you to rely on God. He doesn't want you to trust in God. He doesn't want you to believe that God is your protector and your provider. So what does he do? He gets you to act out of complete selfishness. Selfishness. All sin is rooted in selfishness. But selfishness is more complex than it sounds. Let me talk to you a little bit about that just for a minute. You know, the basic desire or instinct of self-preservation, when it's accompanied by a right relationship with God, you know, when we walk in the truth of his light and love, that instinct or desire of self-preservation is healthy. It keeps us alive, avoiding behavior that would hurt us. Nothing wrong with that. But when we're not in right relationship with God, when we don't have his truth, when we're not seeing through his light, believing that he's our protector and provider, then self-preservation gets us to do anything, including wrong things, you know, to protect ourselves and to engage in whatever selfish desires we're led to believe we should have. Are you following me? Our desires that God created us with are manipulated by the enemy and the world system that he's influenced. So the fallen world that we live in creates situations where people get hurt or traumatized, so that even our basic desires to be loved and accepted when we've been hurt and rejected start causing us to think in unhealthy ways. And that gets reinforced by, you know, the mixed up belief systems of the world. So the next slide says God gives us the choice, but never leaves us without help. He gives us the choice, but doesn't leave us alone. Through Christ, God brings grace and truth into our life. Through Christ, we can have right relationship with him. Through Christ, he helps us to see the truth. And as we know, the truth is what set us free. To do this, God begins to actively work in your life. You know, as we were worshiping tonight, this morning, that's what really also came to me, is that people need to know that God is actively working in their lives, even when they don't yet see it with their physical eyes. You know, I know it's difficult sometimes. When we're going through troubles, when we're going through trials, sometimes, you know, especially with an enemy there to whisper in your ear, we want to say, you know, where is God? And I can't see him. You know, I can't see him doing anything for me. But, you know, that's a lie. God's word tells us that God is always at work in our lives to bring about our best and highest good. You and I know that that's what Romans 8 is all about in verse 28. That's what that truth is all about, that God is always at work in our lives to try to bring about our best and highest good. He actively works. And the more we come to believe that God loves us, accepts us, is our protector and our provider, that he knows, wants, and wants to bring out this highest good, the more our thinking starts to reflect that. the more we start to walk in faith, in this faith, in the faith that God is with us, and we don't have to take matters into our own hands and do wrong things. You see, that's what knowing that God is our protector and provider is all about. The enemy will tempt you all the time to take matters into your own hands and do wrong things. He will tempt you all the time to, you know, hedge your bets, to do things that are wrong, because he'll say you have to. You have to. You have to cheat once in a while. You have to lie once in a while. That's what the enemy says to us, because he doesn't want us to believe that God is there. He's our protector. He's our provider. If we follow him, his ways. So here's how this plays itself out in our relationships. You know, relationships are where it's at. The best that we can experience in this world, the best of God, is loving, healthy relationships. God wants that. Oh, how he wants us to be in such good relationships with one another, between family members, between friends, you know, between co-workers, between church members. God wants such a depth of relationship. He knows that this is the best this world has to offer, our relationships with one another. So what do you think the devil does? Works overtime to try to mess our relationships up. Hey, like I said last week, if you're struggling with having good relationships in your life, you need to do that checkup from the neck up to see what lies you're believing and then acting on that's causing you not to have the healthy, loving, wonderful, deep, good relationships that God wants for you. Now, here is often the root. In our relationships, we have a tendency, that old part of us, to want to always make sure we're protected. And like I said, that plays itself out in a lot of different ways. For example, do you know that being offended is actually a protective mechanism? You know, and you know, John Bevere has a book out, it's called The Bait of Satan, The Spirit of Offense. I'll tell you what, the enemy really wants us to become offended, because God's word says that that offended brother is stronger than a fortified wall. You know, the spirit of offense is a very wicked thing. But why does it come? What's behind that whole thing of getting offended? Huh? Getting offended is what? It's a protective mechanism so that you try not to get hurt, right? You figure that if you get mad, if you get offended, you can put the wall up and you wall out other people that you think might hurt you again. And then you get mad and angry, and then you try to self-justify actions and behaviors. You know all this, right? But do you know that if you truly believe that God was your protector, you would never get offended? Now think about it. Think about it deeply. If you truly believed that God was there working in your life all the time, there to be your protector, you wouldn't have to self-protect. Offense is a self-protective mechanism. You see it? Ha. Using people is the way that this world works. Using rather than loving. You know, using people is a selfish action. It really is. We see it all the time, and it hurts us. Nobody wants to be used and abused. And so again, when we feel used and abused, what happens? Our protective mechanisms, they walls go up. Once again, God's our protector. We don't have to do wrong things in order to get people to like us, accept us. So many people that engage in wrong behavior because they just want that love, they just want that acceptance that God can provide. For God is our provider. Through God, we can have right relationship, right relationship. The right relationship is about having the confidence, like Jesus had when he walked upon the earth. Do you believe that Jesus worried? Think about it. Do you think he worried? Do you think he worried ever for 1 second? Why? How could anybody not ever worry? Confidence, faith, belief that God was with him, that nothing was going to happen outside of God's will, that God would never leave him or forsake him. Confidence. Confidence is what makes a relationship healthy. You know, any single guys here yet? Tyler's only single for a short time yet. What's the most attractive thing to a woman? Confidence. Not ego and pride. I'm not talking about that crap. But I'm talking about the opposite of insecurity. Insecurity is a turnoff. It really is, right? Insecurity is a turnoff. Why? It's unhealthy. It really is. Insecurities. Now, don't get me wrong. Because of this world, we all are subject to insecurities, right? But when God comes into our life, that's what he wants to deal with. He wants to help us overcome those insecurities. And in doing so, show himself strong on our behalf as our protector, our provider, giving us a healthy sense of identity and self-worth. I'm not talking about pride and ego. I'm talking about the confidence of knowing who you are and your value to God. When you know that, you become strong. And what happens when you become strong in that way? You don't have to keep focusing on you. You can focus on others when you feel confident enough. That's God's plan. That's why Jesus was such a cool guy. He didn't have to focus on himself. He could look to others. Isn't that attractive? Come on. Isn't that an innate thing? Do you ever meet somebody, you know, that you meet them and they don't want to talk about themselves? They don't want to focus on themselves. It's all about you. That's attractive. Why? Because it's healthy. It's confidence that comes, that can come when you internalize a belief that God is with you and he'll take care of you. He is your protector and your provider. Amen? Let's just touch briefly, very briefly, on the issue of money. You know, provision. God is our provider. Jehovah Jireh, right? God is our provider. But the enemy really works hard to blind our eyes to God's provision in our lives. He really does. God wants to be our provider of everything we need. Do you know how many scriptures? I wish I had time. I just printed out a couple of pages of them that speak of God's desire to provide for us every need. My God shall provide all my needs according to his riches and glory. He really is our provider. But the enemy tries to pervert the whole issue of provision, doesn't he? He brings selfishness into that equation just like he does our relationships. And so we see, you know, the quest for power and fame and fortune for selfish reasons. And we do wrong things to get what we want in this area of money. Why? Because we don't trust. We don't trust that in doing the right thing, God will make sure we're taken care of. You know, tithing is an illustration of that, isn't it? We trust that in doing the right thing, God will take care of us. He is our protector and our provider. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. That's a truth that we need to internalize. There was a guy from Mississippi that was going to bed when his wife told him that he'd left the light on out in their shed. And so George, his name, he opened the door to go to turn the light off, but saw that there were two guys in his shed stealing things. So he ran back into his house, he called the police, and the police asked, "Is there somebody in your house?" And George said, "No, they're in the shed." Well, the person on the other end, the dispatcher, said that all the patrols were busy and that he should simply lock his door and wait until an officer was available to come. So George wasn't too pleased with that. He hung up the phone, counted to 30, and called back. "Hello," he said, "I called you just a few seconds ago because there were some people in my shed. Well, you don't have to worry about it now because I've just shot them all." He hung up. Within 5 minutes, there were 3 squad cars, an armed rescue unit, and an ambulance that all showed up. And of course, the police caught the burglars that were out in his shed. So one of the policemen came to George and he said, "I thought the report said that you'd shot them." And George said, "I thought they said nobody was available." Huh. Do you ever feel in your life that God's not available? Let's be honest. You know, if so, that's where the enemy comes in and tries to tempt you to do what's wrong. I'm here to tell you this morning that God is always available, that He's never sleeping, that He never slumbers, that He who watches over you is faithful, and you can trust in Him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way, the old hymn says, to be happy in Jesus. My friends, this is the faith that we must bring into us and walk out in our daily lives. Trust that God is your protector and your provider. If you do, your life will be changed. Do you believe it? Let's try to walk this out in our lives. Try it. Just test yourself in your daily life, the thoughts that you're having and the things that you're about to do. Am I having these thoughts? Am I about to do these things because I really don't believe that God is able to provide and protect? Then stop. Do the checkup from the neck up. Trust that God is with you and that He will be faithful. Amen? Let's pray. Almighty Father, I thank You for Your patience for us and Your desire for us to learn these truths in a way that we really do believe them so strongly that we begin to live that way. Lord, when I look at Jesus, He is such a great model for us. I want to be like Him. I want to walk my life out in this earth in that kind of confidence, in that kind of faith, in that kind of trust that I'm not worrying so much, that I certainly am not doing wrong things because I don't believe that You are able to take care of me. Lord, help us all to be able to trust in You more. Lord, help us today to make the decision. I am going to trust in God. I'm going to rely fully upon Him. I am going to believe that You are, O God, my protector and my provider, and that You will bring out my highest and best good. Lord, You said it. I believe it. Now let that settle it, and let it settle deep in my spirit now. Lord, help me to walk it now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.